Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I am your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have with me for the first time Dr. Tony Barresi. He is with his Vice President of Explorations of Triumph Gold. That's he is an economic geologist with greater than 10 years of base and precious metals exploration experience, and he has conducted successful exploration programs on grassroots and brownfield projects and specializes in volcanogenic massive sulfide porphyry and epithermal deposit exploration. He has joined Triumph Gold along with some other, well, this is a company that I followed under an earlier corporation, the projects that they have, the main project that the company is working on. But this is a new management team with fresh ideas, and Tony is one of the major contributors to the new geological interpretation. And as a shareholder, I must say I'm very pleased with what I'm seeing so far, not necessarily in the share price, because none of these shares are doing really well these days in a fairly difficult market. But just on the basis of the exploration success, it's really been very, very exciting. Thank you for joining me today, Tony.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Jay, and thank you for your enthusiasm for our project.
Well, the enthusiasm comes with the drill bit and the results, I must say. And, you know, not being a geo, I don't get as excited as early as some as you folks do, but sometimes I like to see the results. But nonetheless, I guess I should mention that Triumph Gold trades in Toronto under the symbol TIF. In the U.S., you can buy it, as I have, under the symbol TIGCF. 78.5 million shares outstanding, 46 cents a share in U.S. money today, giving it a market capitalization of about $36 million. The company's flagship property is the Freegold Mountain Project in the Yukon. Well, I've been holding the stock now since the new company took over, since Triumph Gold took over this project. And I just recently, after speaking to John Anderson, the company's chairman, decided to double my position. That was after having viewed some spectacular, I'd say spectacular, intersections in the porphyry, gold-copper porphyry, that the company has been exploring. Now, even before Triumph Gold got involved with it, they did have some success. I mean, it's something like, I think, in all different 43-101 categories on three different properties, something like over 5 million ounces of gold-equivalent ounces, depending on what cutoff grades you use and so forth. So it hasn't been as if there's been no success before, but of course that company ran upon a 5-year bear market, and now a new management with great ideas. So Tony, I'd like to ask you, your project in the Yukon it's a district scale project. As much as possible, can you talk about the nature of the Freegold Mountain property in lay terms and what the potential is for it to host an economic deposit?
Sure, Jay. So, you know, there's a lot of different factors that go into some properties' potential to host an economic deposit. You know, everybody knows that Yukon has a lot of gold. But one of the real barriers to being able to have an economic deposit in Yukon is a lack of infrastructure. Mm-hmm. So many of the really good projects in Yukon are strongly handicapped by a complete lack of any existing infrastructure. Their projects are tens or hundreds of kilometers away from existing roads and power lines. One of the things that we really have going for us is that we're only 200 kilometers north of Whitehorse, the Yukon's capital, which has everything you would need. And we're an entirely road-accessible property. So all of those mineral resources that you were talking about are all road-accessible resources. So we're along a road that extends off of the Klondike Highway, and our property begins 50 kilometers off of that road, and the road extends all the way through all of our deposit areas. And that road is actually scheduled for government infrastructure upgrade, where it will be turned from what is now sort of a dirt road into a two-lane, 80-kilometer-an-hour, entirely government-maintained road. Mm, so that's good. One of the things that, yeah, that's government support at its best. So uh-huh. That's one of the factors that leads to these deposits being economic. But really, in the end, what you need to do is find a lot of metal near surface that's high grade. And that's what we're working towards right now. And the reason geologically that there's so much potential here, Jay, is that we're located along a very important crustal scale structure, a fault line called the Big Creek Fault. And it's a controlling structure all the way through up into Alaska, where it's related to a number of deposits there. It's related to Goldcorp's coffee project just to the northwest of us. And we have the longest road accessible portion of that fault. One of the things that that fault has done is it's allowed in an intrusion to come very close to the Earth's surface. And that's what's necessary in order to form porphyry deposits. Porphyry deposits are very rare in Yukon, but because of the Big Creek Fault on our property, we have the capacity, the ability to have a near-surface intrusion. So we're in the right neighborhood geologically for this sort of thing to happen. We have the infrastructure that's necessary to make these sorts of things economic, and now we're finding economic grades.
Indeed, it would seem you are. I mean, I'm looking at, I guess we can get to that. But before we get into the Blue Sky, the Blue Sky porphyry target, that's, I think, where you're spending most of your time and effort at the moment. Could you talk a little bit about what geologically, as much in lay terms as possible, are you seeing that's different from what your predecessors might have been seeing there?
Sure. So the earlier iteration of our company was founded in 2006 by a third-generation prospector and placer miner. And his eyes were all on grassroots exploration, all the way up and down this 20-kilometer-long, 200-square-kilometer area that is our property. He consolidated the property and did exploration all along it, as you would expect a prospector to do. But as the company grew and as they made more and more discoveries, they focused in on the three areas that have the resources. And very little exploration, true exploration, was done in the final years before we became Triumph Gold. But there was a lot of resource drilling going on. So they defined the three resources, and at the current metal prices, those didn't demand a capital investment to build a mill and a mine. And there was a loss of understanding of the exploration potential in the property. So in 2016, when the company was sort of reinvented, we took a look at all of the places where there were drill holes or trenches or assay results that were good economic style intersections or assays, but that were not explained by any of the current geological models. Mm-hmm. And what we discovered was that there was this very large, 6-kilometer-long, very intense, multi-element soil anomaly, and that within that soil anomaly, there were a whole bunch of places where there was evidence that the entire soil anomaly was underlain by a large porphyry copper gold system. Now, that soil anomaly also contains two of the resources, the nucleus epithermal resource and the revenue diatreme-related resource, which is sort of the root of an explosive volcano. And that's where all of the exploration had been focused. But those are just two sort of quarters on a page of paper. And what we're looking at now is the entire page of paper for porphyry potential. So now we're stepping way out from each of those deposit areas and focusing on everything around them. And what are we finding? We're finding that the entire area is underlain by porphyry, and not just porphyry system. You know, we haven't just had technical successes, but we've actually hit higher grade mineralization than the mineralization that's within the resources. And really, that's what we needed to do, what we wanted to do, and what we have now done.
Mm-hmm. Well, indeed. And so are you saying that there's one large porphyry or a series, a cluster of porphyries in this gigantic target, do you believe? Or
okay, so as you go through this entire 6-kilometer area that has the multi-element intense mm-hmm. soil anomaly. There's a whole bunch of different characteristics and a whole bunch of different types of mineralization. So we have this big diatreme, or the root of a volcano that's blasted up through the surrounding rock, mm-hmm. and that's mineralized along its edge. And then we have a low-temperature epithermal system with a bunch of gold right on the side of the soil anomaly. And then some of these other things that we're identifying are places where the rock is fractured and broken up, and porphyry-style mineralization has invaded that rock. Mm-hmm. But so there's a whole bunch of little things all through the 6-kilometer area. But the real prize, what we're really going for here, is that we think all of these are related to something that we have not yet seen. So the entire area is underlain by a porphyry intrusion, and that the interface between that intrusion and the rock that we're looking at near surface is going to be better mineralized than anything that we've seen yet. And, you know, anyone can say, oh, yeah, there's a monster at depth or an elephant mm-hmm. underlying all of this or that sort of thing. It's sort of standard promotional fodder for promotion. But, you know, what we've really got going for us here is that there's a whole bunch of academic work that's been done on these rocks that shows the age of the rocks. And the rocks that host the mineralization are all 105 million years old, but the mineralization is 30 million years younger. Okay. And what that means is that the rocks that they're hosted in could not have caused this mineralization. Uh-huh. There has to be an intrusion that's the same age as the mineralization, which has caused that mineralization, and we have not seen that yet. So uh-huh. every indication is that there has to be something underlying this, which is the cause of the mineralization, and that's what we're going for now.
Well, it's called the blue sky copper, gold copper porphyry. That's sort of at the southeastern end of your 6-kilometer long target, right? And is that where you're spending most of your attention now? Is that what will you be focusing mostly on that?
So when you hit the kinds of grades that we hit in the blue sky porphyry, you have to do as much as you can to follow up on that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
For instance, we had a 316-meter intersection that had 1.1 grams gold and 0.27% copper, and that included a 79.75-meter intersection of almost 2.5 grams gold, 0.38% copper. So
that's incredible.
That's the highest grade porphyry intersection that's ever been made in Yukon. And, you know, if you use the metric of meters times grams, that works out to 565 gram meters, which is, you know, a metric that people sort of compare intersections with between deposit types. And that's going to probably be one of the highest in the world for an exploration project this year. So those mm-hmm. are really good numbers, and we've got to follow up on it. So yes, of course, it's going to be a focus of exploration, but it's not going to be the only focus of exploration because, again, we don't think that the blue sky porphyry sits in isolation. We think that the mm-hmm. real prize is something even bigger and better than this blue sky porphyry. So we're going to use this as a catalyst to be able to move forward with a very aggressive exploration program next year, where we're going to be looking at the entire soil anomaly area.
Mm-hmm. Are we looking at something at considerable depth then? And how deep? I mean, the 316 meters does that start pretty close to surface? And are you really looking at a much deeper target here, looking for that origin that you're speaking of, that mineralization origin?
Right. So the way that I like to sort of describe it to people is that you've got right from surface a whole bunch of small deposit areas or small mm-hmm. areas of mineralization. So that includes the revenue and the nucleus deposits, which are already pre-existing, and then some of these other things that we're discovering in between them and outboard of them are also likely to have near-surface potential for mining. The blue sky porphyry, it does not daylight as far as we know. And that's one of the exploration opportunities, is to try to look for where this thing comes to surface. But the shallowest intersection was at about 100 meters depth. And then we intersected it as deep as about 500 meters depth. The really interesting thing about our deepest intersections of the Blue Sky Porphyry is that those drill holes, the Blue Sky Porphyry body is tilted. The mineralized body is tilted, and the drill holes were tilted as well. And they were tilted in an even shallower inclination than the mineralized body. And they actually penetrated through, at their deepest depth, they penetrated through the top surface or the upper surface of the mineralized body. So they don't close off the mineralized body at depth at all. In fact, they were just drilled at too shallow of an angle, and they came up through the top of it at about 500 meters depth. So it keeps going for sure. So, yes, we're looking for more Blue Sky Porphyry-style stuff at depth, and we're also looking for something that's quite deep that would underlie all of these smaller things which could be mined at surface. And if you look at some of the world's biggest porphyry deposits, like Oyu-Togi, for instance, which has a footprint that's only just a little bit bigger than the footprint of our soil anomaly, there's parts of that which are mined at surface. And then underlying all of that, there's a great big body or several great big bodies that can be mined underground. And those are the deep portions of the surface expression. That's the kind of model that we're looking at.
Tony, your largest shareholder, Goldcorp, it's obviously a gold company. You have a lot of you have a lot of base metals there as well. You meant, of course, we talked about copper, but you've had some silver, zinc, lead. You've even had some moly there, molybdenum. Is this a project that might attract or be attractive to some of the big base metal companies? Let's say, because what you're talking to me, what I'm hearing from you, is that, again, we don't want to overstate things because you have to go through, you know, sound science before we can say for sure about anything. But the prospects of something very significant here, is this, I mean, Goldcorp obviously likes what they see, but have you any idea what Goldcorp sees there? Lots of gold, I guess. What are your thoughts about why Goldcorp? I mean, they've gone a second round of financing, hold just a whisker under 20% that they can hold before having to report more. What are your thoughts about Goldcorp, and are there some other major, without naming any names, other major base metal companies that might at least know about you?
Sure, Jay. So Goldcorp became involved shortly after we did our review of the exploration potential of the property, and they got on to the idea that we had, that this whole thing was underlain by a large porphyry system, and their belief that was well-founded was one of the catalysts for their initial investment in us in early 2017. That allowed us to do one of Yukon's most aggressive exploration programs in 2017, and we had really good results from that, which sort of spurred the next round of investment which they made in us, and that's what funded the work that we were able to do this year. You know, anyone would be happy with the kinds of results that we're getting this year, and I expect, you know, even though there's some copper and moly in the mix, they're pleased with the amount of gold and base metals. But you're right. I mean, Goldcorp is about gold, and we've got a lot of other base metals as well. And the truth is that, you know, there are a number of large mining companies that we've spoken to about this project, and you know, there is a lot of interest in this project because of the base metals and the combination with gold. But I would say, you know, Goldcorp is a fantastic partner, and they've been very supportive of us and easy to work with. And they have porphyry deposits in South America, and you know, in the end, profit is king, and if you get it from gold and copper, that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. That's exactly right. Well, we are out of time, Tony. Thank you so much for being with us. You are well-funded, I guess, to carry out your exploration for the rest of this year, and you won't have too much trouble raising money, I'm sure, getting into next year.
Well, that's what we're hoping.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, thanks, Tony.